Hello and welcome to 3CR Lockdown Level 4. Our offices are closed, the staff is working from home, but we do have some people here on the property busy putting some finishing touches to our land while we have the space and everyone's out of the way. So apologies if you do hear some unfamiliar industrial noises in the background. We are knee-deep in the book of Luke. We're working through a series called 133, where we're picking up the first 133 chapters of the New Testament, which include Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as well as Acts and Romans. And we're up to chapter 5 in the book of Luke. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, Luke was very different as we moved through our Bible reading plan together. Matthew and Mark were, you know, Bible pages as normal. Then I flipped over to Luke chapter 1, and it looked like a little bit of a dot-to-dot, a bit of a paint-by-numbers in my book, in my Bible, because what I do generally when we work through a book of the Bible is I'm going back to front over and again. I've got it with me while someone's preaching. I'm making notes. I'm underlining and highlighting and hyperlinking thoughts. And there's some answers at the bottom there that I scribble, you know, insights you're getting from Deleen and Rory and Andy. And so my Bible just looked a little bit shell-shocked from our last series in the book of Luke. And it started a thought process in my mind. See, we had gone through Luke in 2019. Hence the highlighted pages and underlines and everything. And I began to wonder, to what measure God was speaking to us about 2020 in 2019. In other words, how much of 2019 was a preparation for 2020? And so I went onto our website and I started downloading these sermons that we unpacked through the book of Luke. And I was stopped cold before I even got 5 minutes into the very first sermon. See, Rory opened up the book of Luke to us. He sort of set the stage for us, and he began the series. He started his sermon with a story about a guy named Mike Altrincham. Mike is a friend of ours, and he had passed away quite recently before we started our series. And Rory was speaking about Mike and what he had meant to him personally, because Rory got to know Mike well at a stage when Rory was 27 and he started leading a church for the very first time. And his words were, he was going on a way he'd never been before. He was facing things he'd never faced before. He had to make decisions he'd never made before. And it was at this stage that he really got to know Mike well, because Mike came alongside and helped him navigate this season of his life. And then Rory said the following. He says, in the same way, the book of Luke is going to, he says, the purpose of this series through Luke is to prepare us for a way we've never been before. And that means something completely different in 2021 than what it meant in 2019. But I began to wonder, wasn't God speaking to us, preparing us for 2020? See, Rory meant this in the context of our building project. But how much more was he preparing us for COVID, lockdown, 2020, a global pandemic, a loss of control, and all these unknowns, a way we've never been before? And the more I worked through these sermons, the more I went from chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3, the more I saw God's fingerprints preparing us for what we've been through. The more I heard his voice, sometimes whispers, sometimes this roar saying, a storm is coming. A season is coming where you need to take my hand. You need to draw near to me. You need to know my ways, my word. You need to know my heart for you over and over and over again. So today, what I want to do is actually want to revisit the series we did in 2019. What I want to do is I want to stand, like Rory says, not as a CEO, but as a CRO, looking at these five chapters, a chief reminding officer here to remind you what God has said before the storm hit us, before 2020, before lockdown, before all these unknowns, before marriages took strain and businesses imploded. What was God saying to remind you and I of that going forward? And I want to start where we started, in Luke chapter 1, with these verses. It says, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both very old. Now, in 2019, I unpacked what that meant in the ancient Near East to be an old lady who had been barren all her life. You see, there was a stigma in the ancient Near East around barrenness. There was a shame. They considered you a burden, you see, because you didn't have kids to look after you. And now the Bible specifically mentions they were both very old because of the fact that now they became not only a stigma in the inner circle, but now they became a burden on society. They had no one to work the fields for them, no one to provide for them. I have some friends who live in the UK, and they're telling me about how some of the British citizens go on the dole. Basically, the government will look after you if you have a certain amount of children and you don't have work. And some people have figured out the system where they realize they don't have to work. They just sponge off the government. You know, they have more kids and they get more income and they just live life without having to work. But there's a stigma to that. They're a burden on society and on the government. And this was the same picture that had transpired in Elizabeth's life. She was a burden. She carried the shame. You see, because according to ancient Near East culture, whether you were Greek or Roman or Jew, there was some kind of a disgrace if it was just a husband and a wife without children. And to the Jews, they had this custom. They basically would look down their noses on you and say, well, that's God's judgment. Clearly, there's some sin there. So I don't know if you remember this picture. Ricky will show you a photo. This goes back all the way to 2019. It's wonderful, reminiscent of those times way back when we weren't wearing masks, when we were gathering in large crowds. But you'll notice I'm holding this bowl and it's filled. It's filled with pregnancy tests. You see, what had happened was I said to our team, I said, listen, this is what I'm wanting to preach on from Luke 1. This is what I've seen. And I want to present it visually. And I said, why don't you get a little bowl and fill it with some pregnancy tests? And the question was asked, well, how many? I said to them, well, you ladies, go figure that out. Go figure out how many months Elizabeth had gone through where she was given a no. Not this month, Elizabeth. You're not pregnant. Again and again. And you see the size of the bowl? Because they came back to me. They said, conservatively, she probably had at least 400 no's. 400 times where she looked at that pregnancy test and it was just one stripe. 400 months of shame. 400 months where she, I've got to go and have a meal at Omar Sophie's house and explain again that I'm not pregnant. 400 months of disappointment, of shame. 400 months, 400 times where she maybe closed that bathroom door and just sat and wept. God, what have I done? What have I, why? My name, her name, you know, Elizabeth's name means abundance of God. And she would have said, but you've called me. The abundance of God. I don't see your abundance. All I see is barrenness over and over again, at least 400 times. And then in 2019, I asked this question on the back of Elizabeth's one stripe. I asked the question, what is your one stripe? What if I were to ask that question again today? You see, back in 2019, your one stripe maybe wasn't marriage, because your marriage, it wasn't bad, but it was okay. But now we've been through lockdown. Now we've been on each other's toes all the time. And maybe your marriage has become a one-stripe area of your life. Maybe your business was doing okay, but subsequently it's hemorrhaging. And it's become this one-stripe, an area of barrenness. Maybe like a friend of mine, you lost your job at the very beginning of lockdown. And you've tried your utmost to get a job. Now you're up to your eyeballs in debt, hundreds of thousands of rands to try and float your family, and you're willing to do anything to the point where he's had to go work out of town, 3 or 4 hours away, only back every second weekend just to put food on the table. What is your one stripe? Maybe it's COVID, or maybe it's that you're a Christian. Maybe like Elizabeth, abundance of God, you're a Christian, you've gone, Lord, where are you? Where are you? Aren't you a father? Aren't you a good father? Don't you care? Where are you in this? How do you allow my life to fall apart like this when you call me your son, your daughter, the apple of your eye? You know, in 2019, with a storm on the horizon, with this Mack truck coming charging down at us, God steps right in front of that storm and he said to us in 2019, said, let this be a sign to you. You have a one-stripe season coming, but I want to show you through this story, that a gracious gift will come from your barren womb. You see, Elizabeth was given a child and God said, name him John. John means a gracious gift. And in 2019, God reminded us that he was able to give a lady who had an entire lifetime of an entire season of one stripe. He was able to turn that into a gracious gift. And it was like he was leaning in on us and said, you can trust me with your one stripe. Even still today, 3CR, you can trust God with your one stripe. He was there before the season unfolded. He was there telling us, in spite of our one stripe, a gracious gift will be given to this barren womb. Who knows what God is about to do? But he steps in there to let us know that that will be our sign, assigned to us. That will be what we can hold on to. And I trust that you're still holding on to it today. Because a gracious gift will come from this barren womb, this barren season, this one stripe season. And what Deline did when we got to chapter 2, well, she looked at that very thing. You see, in chapter 2, we find Mary giving birth to Jesus, the promised Messiah. He comes on the scene. And building up to that, what Deline did was she looked at this moment, preparing Mary for that. Kind of like God was trying to prepare us in 2019 for the pandemic. And she said this, I wrote it down. She said, coming up to this point when Jesus would be born, it was basically the beginning of the three most important decades in world history. Going forward, the ministry of Jesus, the three most important decades in world history. And she asked the question, where was God? God was preoccupied with these two ladies, two pregnant fairies, seemingly insignificant ladies on the outskirts of the city. And as I heard her say those words, this side of the pandemic, I suddenly realized that's exactly what God was doing. Back in 2019, God, knowing that we had possibly 3 years of the worst, most confusing, overwhelming years of our lives, where was God? He was preoccupied with a seemingly insignificant bunch of people on the outskirts of our city. Why? Because Mary was about to go through some of the worst days of her life. She was about to experience stuff that no young girl had ever faced till that day. The guilt, the shame, the embarrassment. She was going to be overwhelmed. She was going to be criticized. She was going to be terrified. She was going to be excited. She was going to be confused. And she wasn't alone. Joseph himself would go through the same things. Just imagine coming after a busy day, meet some mates, have a drink, and someone walks in that you haven't seen for a while, and he makes a beeline across to the table and says, hey, I hear congratulations are in order. You know, you're going to be a dad soon. When did you and Mary get married? And then he'd have to say, well, we're not married. And then the guy would be flummoxed because they're like, what? I thought you guys were an item. Weren't you engaged at one stage? Who's she married to? And then he'd have to tell this story all over again. And somewhere along the line, the conversation would lead to the person saying, you know what? Actually, you know, legally you could get divorced. Maybe he'd even mention, you know, legally she deserves the death penalty. That was the penalty for being pregnant out of wedlock. And Joseph would have to sit there and go, what do I do with this one stripe? Do I throw it away? God, where are you in all of this? I know you've spoken. I mean, I've seen an angel. But he considered divorcing Mary, just throwing that one stripe away. Mary, many times, I'm sure, would have wondered, Lord, really? All of this? She would have to watch that promise. She would have to watch that pregnancy eventually end up with her son being bludgeoned to death on a cross. You've got to know, she needed, as Deline reminded us back in 2019, her and her husband needed a rugged theology of suffering. And it was like God was saying to us in 2019, my people, you need a rugged theology of suffering. You need to know who I am in the midst of the storm. And what Deline pointed out was Mary went and surrounded herself with Elizabeth, the lady who had seen God take that one stripe and make it two after decades of no's. And she surrounded herself by Elizabeth, was reminded over and over again who this God is who impregnated her, who this God is that placed a call upon her life. And what Deline said over and over again, do you know him, 3CR? Do you know him? Back in 2019, we were already being called to intimacy with our Heavenly Father so that when all of this unleashed on us, we would still trust him, that we would still know his voice, that we would still know his hands are safe and his heart is good. And we will still know that he could bring a precious gift out of that barren womb. And so Deline called us back and asked us over and over again, do you know him? And I want to remind you of that because Andy came and preached from chapter 3. In the book of Luke chapter 3, we find Andy preaching on John the Baptist. And while Deline was calling us to know God, Andy got up and called us to know his word and his ways. Talking on John the Baptist, he drew out this portion from chapter 3. It says, at this time, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness, right in the midst of that one-stripe barrenness. And he went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So we start off 2019, Luke chapter 1, where God begins to whisper that a storm is coming, a season of one stripe. Delene gets up and she calls us to the presence of God. And here Andy gets up and calls us into the Word of God. And he says, the Word of God came to John in the wilderness and he went into all Judea preaching. So the Word of God activated something there. See, the Word of God meant that John operated in like this white hot purpose. The power of God was there. The presence of God was there. The people were gathering around. Matthew 3 says, all of Jerusalem, all of Judea, the whole Jordan area gathered around to hear his ministry. And he said that all transpired because the Word of God came to John in the wilderness. And he made this point. He said, what our problem is we hit a wilderness and we run from the Word of God. When God is wanting to speak, when God is wanting to draw near, instead we back off. It's human nature to distance yourself in the middle. It's almost like batten down the hatches, the storm is here. And both Andy and Delene reminded us to draw near to God. Why? Well, Andy said this, and I'll never forget it. I've preached it many times, actually. He said, whenever he's approached by someone to ask him the stereotypical question of, like, what am I called to? What's my purpose in life? Or where is God in all of this? Or how could God allow this to happen? I mean, I asked that of God on Monday. we revisit this over and over again. You know what Andy says he does? He says, without fail, whenever someone asks him that question, his immediate answer is this. He says, take me to those well-worn pages in your Bible. Take me to that place where something was awakened in you through Scripture, through God's Word, through His promise, where you were commissioned by God. Take me to those pages where you see the fingerprints of your future, where you see the footprints of your Father. He says He always does that. Why? Because we lose our way when we lose God's Word. We lose our way when we lose God's Word. You see, because God's Word is meant to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Without God's Word, everything's dark. Where is God in all this? What am I called to? What's the right decision in all this? We get to those questions when we lose God's Word. And so he said, we lose our way when we lose God's Word. And he added this to it. He said that the Word of God is meant to impregnate our hearts. And I'm sitting there in my office listening to this sermon. The Word of God impregnates our heart. You see, because we go full circle on that statement. Because the Bible talks about the Word of God as a seed, the kingdom of God as a seed, the way of and His voice as a seed. And when it speaks of seed, it uses the Greek word sperma. You see, in 2019, God was telling us we're about to go into a season of one stripe, of barrenness, where it would seem like our womb is empty. But Delene came and she called us back to knowing God, to intimacy with God, to surround ourselves like Mary surrounded herself with Elizabeth and her testimony and the fingerprints of God. And then Andy comes and he says, and in that place, once we are intimate with God, His Word comes like a seed, like a sperma into our heart to impregnate our heart. And that's the only way a one-stripe season can turn into two stripes. It's the only way a barren womb can bear fruit. So when the Word of God impregnates our heart. I'm sitting there going, Lord, I'm listening. I missed this in 2019, but man, I'm listening. And then we went into chapter 4. In chapter 4, again, we find the Word of God on front and center, front page, full living color, because in chapter 4, Jesus gets taken into the wilderness, again, into the desert, and Satan comes and tempts him. And what is his reply? The Word says. The Word says, because in the wilderness, the Word of God is meant to come. And in the wilderness, when the Word of God comes, our one stripe becomes two. Our barrenness becomes abundance. And for time's sake, I just want to draw out an illustration that we used. If you were here that Sunday, you might remember back that for me, I'll never forget it. I had the team put mustard seeds on all the seats in the auditorium. So I think we bought like 10 bottles of mustard seeds, but there's thousands in each one. We barely used half of them. And we just put mustard seeds on all the chairs. I preached on the Word of God as a seed and what seeds do. And in nature, God's given us an illustration and He uses the kingdom and His commands as seed because we can look and see it in full living color around us. There's great illustrations and examples. And right at the very end, I said, okay, so now let's take the mustard seed that we put on your seat And there was this murmur, like when a teacher leaves the classroom, mustard seed people looking. And no one really believed that there was a mustard seed. I would show you, but you wouldn't even see it if I had to put it on my hand in front of the camera. But eventually one or two people started, and I said, okay, well, if you found it, put that mustard seed, show that mustard seed so other people could see what they were looking for. And eventually about 60-70% of guys had found them. But what I'll never forget of that was, I remember when people came in, knowing that I wanted to use this illustration and knowing that I wanted to leave what illustrated the Word of God on these seats, I knew that many people would miss it because that's the nature of the Word of God. It doesn't jump out at us and, the neon signs. That's Hollywood. God's Word is often whispers and is often lost in the midst of distraction. But I do remember a number of people noticed them and cleaned their chair. They sort of swept it onto the floor. And then now when I'm calling for them to pick it up, you're suddenly like, oh, shucks, where did I remember seeing it? And what struck me when I was listening back to that, and I referred to that, what struck me was, a lot of the time, that's how we like to hear God's word. It's got to work according to our formula. It's got to be neat and tidy. It's got to fit within our box, and so that is why 2020 unravels us. Because I wondered, like it was back in the corner there, neat and tidy. God, speak to me like that. Speak to me during my quiet time. Don't take me into a storm. Don't take me into a one-stripe season. But here's the thing. Proverbs 14:4 says the following. It says, where the oxen are absent, a barn is clean. Now, that's referring not just to the fact that oxen are dirty animals and leave behind dirty, stinky things, but because when an ox is not there, there's no harvest. The barn is empty. It says, where the oxen are absent, the barn is clean, but a rich, abundant harvest comes through the strength of the ox. Now, it's not talking about an ox that goes out into the field and picks grapes and harvests wheat. An ox is there to plow the ground, to turn that soil, to break open that predictable, that hard, well-worn path, to break it open, to tear away those weeds. And that is exactly what 2020 did. See, God spoke to us in 2019 and said that we are going into a one-stripe season. He spoke to us through Delene's word, and reminding us that it's so important and it's dangerous to be apart from His presence. And He spoke to us through Andy and the need for the Word, because as 2020 turns the soil, churns our well-kept land, the seed is allowed to be planted into our hearts. And it's from that place that a rich, abundant harvest grows. It's from that place that what God said out of Luke 1, a gracious gift will come from a barren womb. It's out of that place that we find the seed taking root. Because probably, if you're anything like me, it's at that place where we're going, Lord, I need you. I suddenly realize I can't do this on my own. So that was Luke 1, 2, 3, and 4. Luke 5, Rory stepped in and he preached on the disciples. And he did, like Rory does, sort of this panoramic view of all of Scripture to help you see what's transpiring there. Yeah, we've often joked, I like to do that laser pointed, take one verse, Rory will take the whole book. And he did that with Luke, because in Luke 5, we find Jesus calling his disciples. And Rory refers to this, but not just from Luke 5. He looks at the whole of the book of Luke. See, because, and this is what he pointed out, those disciples were going to go through their own global pandemic, their own shaking. See, we just thought that it was going to be the tough time of building a new building and raising funds. But what these disciples went through was unprecedented, a shaking, a bludgeoning of their hope on the cross. And so he took Luke 5 and he looked right at the very end on the road to Emmaus. And in this context, it was almost like heaven touched earth as I listened. And Rohr said the following. He says, here you got these disciples on the road to Emmaus. They've given up. They've looked at their situation. They've looked at this grand hope. Now he's dead on the cross, buried in a tomb, and they've left. They've hightailed it out. How could God? How could a good God? Where is God? All those questions you and I ask, and they're out of there. And what does Jesus do in the midst of their one stripe? Well, he does exactly what Delene said he wanted to do. He comes alongside them. And what does he do while he walks with them on the road to Emmaus? He does exactly what Andy said God wants to do. He began to sow the seed of his word into their turned soil. And line by line, chapter by chapter, Jesus plants the seed in their hearts. He impregnates their hearts with his word. And Rory said the following. He said, "We cannot expect to walk into the purposes and plans and the provision and the presence of God apart from His Word impregnating our hearts." And what happens? The sown seed bear fruit. And the disciples said, "Didn't our hearts burn within us when He unpacked Scripture?" And what do? They hightail it back straight into the storm, straight back to Jerusalem. That is what happened. This is what God spoke to us over these five chapters. He stepped in front of that bus and He said, "A storm is coming. Draw near to me." He says, "A storm is coming. I want to show you who I am. I want to remind you of who you are to me." He said, "Open my word. Allow the seed to impregnate your heart." Because as 2020 and 2021 stirs and churns, and as that business takes strain, and as your marriage is wobbly, He said, "When that soil is turned, my word will come. It will impregnate your heart, and a gracious gift will come out of this barren season." So that's what was preached in 2019. What I want to preach in 2021 is just one verse. And it's from Jonah 3, verse 1. And it says the following. It says, "The word of God came to Jonah a second time." The word of God came to Jonah a second time. These highlights from these five chapters, I trust, comes to you a second time. Jonah himself faced a shaking, ran from the presence and purposes of God, ran from His word. But the word of God came to Jonah a second time. And that time he laid hold of it. And a gracious gift came from that barrenness. I trust, 3CR, that a gracious gift will come from this barren womb of lockdown, of COVID, of this pandemic, barren womb in your marriage, in your business, in your relationships, in your emotions, in your intimacy with God, that God would allow a gracious gift through the intimacy with His presence and the planted seed of His word in our hearts, so that the word of God coming to Jonah a second time, well, this time, bear fruit.